Do you like candles? We all know that I love candles, and I love the candles from Remy Moon. They are an Australian-based small business, and they make the best and most magical candles. All of their candles are made with high vibes, pure intentions, and each one is crafted with a little bit of Reiki healing that also suits the intention of the candle itself. All their candles are non-toxic and vegan, so they don't harm us or the animals. You can use the code SUBURBANWITCH for 15% off all of their products, and it's only for listeners of the Witch Talks podcast. Simply head to remymoon.com.au to get your candles now. Welcome to Witch Talks, the series for spiritual seekers, witches, and enlightened souls. I'm Hannah the Suburban Witch, professional tarot reader, astrologer, and witch, and I hope you're ready to get up close and personal with your favourite witches. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 2 of season 2. Oh my goodness, can you believe how many episodes have come out now? This is wonderful. So, firstly, thank you for popping me in your ears once again. I appreciate it. Secondly, my guest today is a dear friend of mine, Astrea Taylor. She is amazing. There is so much wisdom in this episode, but we are friends, so we chat like friends. So it's a little bit less me asking questions and it's a bit more back and forth, which I know you guys actually love that. So please, 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 please let me know your feedback. I love to hear what you think about the episodes, which ones you love and what things you like to see, so I know to make more things like that. So definitely hit me up, send me a DM. I'm always open to DMs. You guys know that. Tiny bit of housekeeping. Once more, make sure you rate, subscribe, like, and leave a review. I would love to read your reviews, guys. It really, really helps and gives me that dopamine hit to keep going, guys. You know, I've got ADHD. You got to help me out here. But also make sure you're like telling people if you like the podcast, share it out with people. I want to get the word out. I really want to see this podcast just grow and grow. First season, I mean, we hit over 10,000 downloads in the first season, which was wonderful. But I'm thinking big, guys. I want 50,000, 100,000, right? We want to get this out there. We want to help new witches, intermediate witches, advanced witches. We want to help everyone on their path, on their spiritual journey with the amazing teachings that a lot of my guests and myself can bring to the world. And what better way than with this amazing technology? So strap yourselves in. A couple of changes for this season as well. As you know, I'm doing the tarot reading with them at the start, but I'm also not limiting myself with time. I used to be all like, oh, it has to be under an hour or people won't listen. But no, I'm not doing that anymore. You guys have a pause button and you have control. If you don't like it, you just listen to another episode. That's totally fine. If you do like it, you're probably going to want to hear more from that person. So I'm going to stop cutting out so much and just keep all the juicy goodness in there. Again, let me know your thoughts as I experiment along with you all. But I'm really, really grateful to have you here. And let's stop me talking and get me into more talking, but with someone else who you want to hear from, which is Astrea Taylor. In this episode, I am chatting with the beautiful and creative fire fairy, Astrea Taylor. She is a fellow witch, fire dancer, pagan teacher of the craft, and the author of multiple books, Intuitive Witchcraft, Air Magic, and her newest book, which is Modern Witchcraft with the Greek Gods, plus one more book that is going to be released later this year, which we'll also be chatting about. She is joining us via Zoom all the way from Ohio. Hey, Astrea, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast.
Oh, I'm so glad. And we have been trying to organize this chat with our busy schedules for ages, and I'm so glad that it has worked out. And thank you so much for joining me today. Like, it's lovely. We get to chat in person.
I know. We're friends online and we talk online all the time. And I hear your voice in my head all the time whenever I see your text. And it's like so fun to actually talk to you in person.
Yes, I agree. It's whilst it's like, I mean, it's in person, but it's not in person, right? But it feels ish more real than a text.
Yeah.
Not to put that form of relationship down either as well, because I feel like we've got a very solid ground in our relationship.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. So
we talk about everything.
Yeah, agreed. What I want to talk about, what I want to start with today is by pulling a tarot card for you, if you're comfortable with that on air.
Definitely. Yes. Let's awesome. Do it.
Do you have a question or would you like general guidance?
You know what's funny is I pulled a card before this podcast, which is funny because you're pulling a card. And I didn't know you did that in this season. So mine is the Page of Air, but I'm curious, I don't know, like what's the general energy of the times right now? Like that's what I ask a lot.
Cool. So usually I sort of pick one that I feel vibes with whoever I'm talking with. And there's a couple here that I have that I feel like you might like. So I'm just going to show you and I want you to choose which one. So the first deck, which I haven't actually read with, this is called Tarot of the Sorceress. I've done an unboxing of it, but I haven't really played with it just yet. So there's that one. It's all like black and gold and white.
It's
And then
gorgeous.
this is the other one. So the two-tone tarot, which is it's really cool. It's actually like an indie deck and it comes in two different styles, the shadow or the light. And I chose the shadow. So it's all black with white images on top. Which one do you feel?
I think the first one, it
First
just looks
one?
more spectral, you know, like a more ethereal, electric.
It is. It's meant to be a witch's wheel of the year, is kind of the theme of the tarot. So let's give it a go. Oh, it is gorgeous. It's got these like stunning gold edges. All right, let's have a little looky-loo. It's a
Yeah, I'm
little.
a tarot addict. I have like 15 decks and I've given so many away too.
I God, how many decks would I have? One, two, three. I wonder if we count. Do we count oracles?
No,
Okay, just tarot. One,
those are
two, three,
different.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 13, 14, 15. I reckon I'm about the same. 16.
Wow.
Yeah, 16, 16 tarot. Oh, 17.
I mean,
17.
there you have it, everyone. Like, that's a good number of decks to have. If you only have two, you should get some more, probably.
Oh, and when I do my tarot classes, so the good thing is I've got so many, so I bring them all along because I'm not precious about people, using my decks. Like that's not a big deal for me. So I get my students to play with them and to choose which one. I've got so many different ones for them to choose from, which is wonderful. But yeah, that's one of the things. They're like, oh, shouldn't we just have one? I'm like, no, not at all. There's so many different things that you can find in different decks. Like, I've got some decks that are really good for spiritual questions or love or really need gentle readings. I've got other ones that are great for like, oh, I've got one actually, and I'll tell you what I do with it. The Thoth Tarot. It's pretty brutal, I find, in its readings. It's very, what's the word? I don't know. It's intense. It's an intense deck,
Yeah,
right?
I gave that one away.
Yeah, it's
But I
intense.
like
And
it. It's beautiful though. It's gorgeous and I love the artwork. I had to pass it along to somebody else who wanted it, who needed
well, I
it.
think it also it reads really clearly. Like it is, there's no room for making it fluffy or light if you get a card like despair, right? It says despair. It looks pretty intense. You're like, oh God, I can't flip that around in another way. So I actually use that when I'm doing a house cleanse for someone, and I will walk through the house with my deck, shuffling it, and I'll pull a card for each space in the house. And that will tell me the energy of the room and whether I need to, spend a bit of extra attention, do some energy clearing as well as, a smoke cleanse or whatever else I'm using. And then what I do is when I'm finished, I go back through pulling a card for each room again and make sure that that energy has shifted and it has worked wonderfully. And it gives me so much information as well. Like I've gone through, for example, and let's say I go into the toilet, right? It's a single toilet room. And you think there's not going to be much like energy in there, right? But maybe I pull a card. What did I pull recently? The last house cleansing I did, I pulled a card, and whatever it did, it didn't say that there was. I just felt like it's not telling me about this room, but it's giving me a bit of extra information about something to do with this room. And I went back down. I was like, you got stomach issues? Is there like issues around your health? And it was around feeling that feeling of my health issues are a burden. It was burdens. I pulled like a burdensome sort of card. Might have been 10 of wands type of thing. And I was like, do you feel, I think it was, do you feel like your health issues are a burden? Because that energy that you're bringing into this space, that's sort of causing a little bit of upset in what's happening in the actual house. So it gave me like this wonderful information as I was doing it. And they were just like, how did you know that? I'm like, the cards know. It's really interesting. Yeah. So you can use them for more than just a tarot reading, which is wonderful.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. So this
as long as your cards don't lie. Yeah. So you don't want the cards that lie.
So this is general energy for like for you, for upcoming type of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that what you said? I've got lost in my train of thought.
You know, I think like, let's do it for the community. I think like, we all need to hear some kind of a message, you know,
cool.
Everybody wants to hear something.
All right. Lovely. We got a lovely card, which.
Yes.
I will just advise everybody. I may go on a few tangents today because I haven't taken my ADHD medication because I'm coming off a stomach flu. And I was like, I don't want to put that on top of everything else because I just need a rest. So if I do, just roll with it. It's part of the process.
Yeah, I'm here for you. Yes, I love it.
All right, so the card we have is Ace of Water, which is Ace of Cups.
Ooh.
Okay, so for anyone who's tuning in on YouTube, you'll be able to see this card. It's really beautiful. So the cards are black and the images on them are white with like this gold simple border. Now this one has like a vessel, so it's two hands holding a bowl and it's pouring this water out, and there's like flowers and what looks to almost be like coral in the background. And then it says obviously Ace of Water, and in gold there's the upside down triangle, which is the element of water, the symbol for that. Now I find in the tarot aces extremely lucky. For me, they are like a shifting energy, they are new fresh energy. Cups or water generally is going to be about intuition. It's going to be around relationships and people and love and feeling and emotions and all of those sorts of things, right? So it's an influx of new energy in that area of our lives. So in terms of a community reading, I'd say that the tides are turning. Luck is on the up, especially in regards to potentially collective intuition. This also could, I think we've got Saturn moving shortly into Pisces. So this could even be referencing that in terms of that taking more responsibility around our intuition, our energy, and our relationships and our boundaries with one another. So I feel like that shift is going to be really good collectively for the community at large. And there, how do you feel about that, Australia?
It's beautiful. I love that interpretation. And, you know, whenever I see the Ace of Cups, I see it as this gift. We have this energy that we can take to manifest more bliss in our world, more intuition, like you said, and just more of these positive feelings. You know, we can leave some of those past lessons behind. We've graduated, we've conquered some emotional mountains, we've walked over them, and we've arrived at this new place. And now it's totally like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? What do you want to feel? Do you still want to feel stressed out? You can go on the same journey again, or you can go on a totally different path. So it's up to you.
I love that. And this, even the way the card is, it kind of looks like it could be a new path, like the way it's sort of spreading out this way. And the cup being held quite, it's right at the top of the card, pouring down. So for me, that almost feels like this divine hand coming through to pour out like more information, more intuition to people. People are open and ready to receive it, right? And it's going to spread out through everyone. And in even in the Rider-Waite-Smith card, that card in particular, because we've got the dove and like the Eucharist and all of that, it just brings this idea of the divine somehow intervening or like being a part of our actual lives. So coming physical, but also this idea of peace that I get in that card. So it's a good shift. So maybe after the last couple of rough years, maybe things are looking up this year.
Let's hope so.
All right. So now I want to chat about a couple of your books. Now, the first one I talk about, because you're a magical powerhouse and it was difficult to know where to start. So I thought, I'm just going to start with what I know, which is your first book, Intuitive Witchcraft, which I've read. There's a review on my blog as well, if anyone would like to read it. And like, I think it's excellent. It's great for witches who are not drawn to any particular traditional path, like myself and like many out there. Is that who you wrote it for?
Yeah, I wrote it for people who were newer on the path, people who wanted to refresh their path, people who wanted to deepen their path, people who are looking for a deeper meaning in their lives. Like, why am I doing all this stuff? What's the purpose of it? What's the energy that I bring to it? People who want to understand the deeper meanings within the magical processes and bring something themselves to it, as opposed to just letting somebody else write everything and following somebody else's guidance. You know, you follow your own guidance with intuitive witchcraft.
Yeah, I love that. And that's one of the things that drew me to witchcraft was the fact that, I mean, there's no church that you have to go to, right? There's no one telling you what to believe.
Yeah.
You choose your beliefs based on your own experiences. And I think your book really highlights that as well.
Thanks. Which is beautiful. And there are no witch police either, you know, no one's going to arrest you if you don't use sage for this purpose, or if you don't use, you know, bay leaves for this way, you know. Some people want to perpetuate that concept that there's only one right way to do things. And, you know, I think tradition can help us get some basic concepts, but ultimately it comes down to who we are. Like, so if like that one teacher you had in high school always wore rose quartz and you just never got along with her and she hated you or whatever, she gave you an F or whatever. You're not going to use rose quartz for a love spell or for empowerment, are you? If you just have that association, that's going to be detrimental and you could self-sabotage. So creating your own personal correspondences, I think everyone does it, but not everyone talks about it. So the way you do it is you feel the energy. And when it comes down to it, the word correspondence means to talk. So you're talking with this crystal or this plant or a candle or the concept of putting something in the freezer or burying something. So you're talking with that in your energy and you're figuring out, is this the way for me to go? Is this the best path for me? What can I do with this? I want to do this one thing. And, you know, here are the ways you could do it. Like earlier today, I was just feeling something in my body and I was like, why am I feeling on alert? And all of a sudden, somebody put some piece of mail, like in my door. They opened my door, my screen door, and put it in my door.
They opened your door.
Yes. And it was very creepy.
Yeah.
It turned out it was my husband's friend, but like 15 minutes before that, I was like, why am I on alert? And I, you know, my intuition was going off and I didn't know he was stopping by. So anyway, it's one of those things. Pay attention to your intuition. It will tell you things that you need to do. Like afterward, I was like, okay, well, thanks, intuition. Thanks for telling me that was going to happen. I was alert. You know, I wasn't doing something weird. I was aware of what was going on. It wasn't somebody weird even, but
yeah.
Now I need to pay attention to my intuition as far as like what I can do to relax after that situation. Since it wasn't something that was a dangerous situation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Talking about intuition and things like that. So, and I briefly mentioned this when we first jumped on the call, but I didn't tell you about it because I wanted to talk about it on air. So I had a dream about you last night, which, I mean, I knew we were talking this morning. It's morning for me, evening for you. I knew we were talking this morning, but I mean, that could subconsciously be in my mind, but in this dream, you had traveled to Australia. You were in Sydney. So a different area to me, like a different state, everything. And I went there to then show you around. And it was this really vivid dream of me basically showing you all these wonderful magical places that I knew of and being like this really warm host. And I remember even in the dream being like, where are my kids? Oh, they'll be fine. I didn't have my kids with me. I was just like, I'll just leave them. I'll fly down and I'll take you around and I'll show you everything. And the way we were going around everything was I was trying to tell my husband, I'm like, it was like a flying car, but it wasn't a car. It was more like a square box that we stood in, almost like if you think of a hot air balloon, kind of like the bottom of that. But I could make it just like move up and down and everything. Like it worked with levers and things. So it wasn't magic, but it felt magical that we could, you know, see this new perspective together of over the city and like, let's look over here and we're both exploring something totally new together. So I have a feeling, especially because the sun is currently transiting my 11th house as we record this, which for me brings a lot of prophetic visions and dreams. Mm-hmm. And I pay a lot of attention to my dreams at this time. And they ramp up, but every year they really ramp up at this time. And so for me, the meaning that I get from this wacky dream of us flying through the skies of Sydney is potentially in our future, there might be some form of venture where we both get to gain a new perspective of something together, of something that is new and slightly unfamiliar, and work together to have a really enjoyable experience. So whether that's a collaboration that we work on, whether it was just showing that this podcast is going to bring some really interesting perspectives to both of us, but it was a really beautiful dream and I had a good time and we had a lot of fun together.
That's amazing. That's so funny. Before, when I was getting ready for this podcast, I was thinking like, what if Hannah came to the States? Like, that would be so cool.
I would love that. We were supposed to with my husband's work, it was on the cards and then it got taken off the cards. And I was really bummed because I've got you, I've got lots of friends over there. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can see everyone.
Yeah. Someday.
Yeah, it will happen. I know at least we have a trip planned in like 2028 for our 10-year wedding anniversary, but that'll be to Canada. But I'm like, oh, that's close, right? That's super close. Go down a little bit.
Yeah. Depending on what part of Canada.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, potentially. And you never know. And actually, I've been trying to manifest. So anybody listening who may have some contacts, what I've been trying to manifest for my future with my work and what I do is speaking roles and teaching roles worldwide. Like, that would be wonderful. Speaking, working at retreats, or, oh gosh, can you imagine? One thing I said to my husband, I'm like, can you imagine if I could do a TED talk? And he's like, yeah, that's a bit far-fetched. I was like, exactly. I love it. It's perfect. It's exactly what I want.
I don't think it's that far-fetched. I think it's within reach. Within totally reach.
Put that out there. So yes, I think those sorts of intuitive things, because when I said that, I got that like really excited jolt in my gut, which for me is like a, yes, that is a great goal to have. Let's put that down. So that was what I put on my year ahead manifesting, which for anyone listening, I do on the first day of my 11th house solar transit. I do have a report on my website that people can purchase, which is tells you about the sun's transit through your houses and the days that it happens and what to do that month. But that's what I do. So if you know when that happens, great time for you to do your year ahead manifesting your big goals and really focus on them for that month. But back to you and intuitive witchcraft. So as you said, you wrote it for some newer witches and then also for some that were needing a refresher as well. And what I did write on the review as well is that at first it does read a little bit like a beginner 101 book, but you have to cover those basics because anyone can pick it up, right? But I don't want anyone to be turned away from that, because by chapter 4, the correspondence lists are gone. And if you skip those early chapters, you will miss some wonderful personal stories that you shared. And you included a story about you walking on hot coals, and it has stuck with me. Like, you would not believe. I literally think of that so frequently. So I was wondering if you could tell everyone about the first time and then the second time that you went to walk on coals. And then I'll tell you about how it pops up in my day-to-day life.
Okay. Yeah, totally. So I wrote that story in Intuitive Witchcraft. It's kind of a story about why it's important to raise energy in your magic. So the first time I was at this fire festival in Ohio. It was amazing. Fire dancing was going on. I'm a fire dancer. I was taking workshops from people who were like considered masters of the poi or the staff or whatever, you know, and it was mind blowing, but it was a lot. It was really intense. A lot of exercise, a lot of walking. So there was this opportunity to walk on hot coals. And initially I was like, I'll pass. I'm going to relax and make my body's tired. And my friend was like, oh, you should go. You should go. And I said, okay, even though I wasn't feeling it, I figured I could just like, you know, if I wasn't really feeling it, I could just step out or whatever. But I got there and it was really exciting because they were building this huge bonfire, and this leader started raising energy with the people and started like talking us up and giving us examples, and people, it was amazing. So he asked us to pair off then and share our hopes and dreams with the another person we were at with, you know. And I was with my friend, and I love her. We're still friends, but oh my gosh, she kind of did me wrong. So we were like, okay, I was like, you can go first. I'm the Libra, she's the Aries, right? And so she's like, I want to open a bakery. I want to do this with my life. I want to do that. And I was like, yes, holding space for her and like supporting her and being like, I believe in you. And then the leader walks nearby and says, I want you all to dig deep. If your dream is to open a bakery, you need to talk about that. You need to talk about all those muffins you're going to make or whatever. And she got so excited. She ran off to tell him, that's what I want to do. Oh my God, I want to open a bakery. How did you know? You know? And then she told the person beside him and then the person beside them and then another group and then another group. And before long, I couldn't see her. And then, of course, it was my turn to talk about my hopes and dreams, and nobody was there. And I just felt as if my hopes and dreams didn't matter, even though I know that she knew it mattered to her, but she was on her own adventure. She was doing something else. But I just started to cry. And, you know, this is the end of the weekend. I had had little sleep, little nutrition. I was sore, probably some hormones. It's all good. I just started to cry though. And I was really sad. And, you know, I got into this lower energy state and I just had to like hang out with some other friends, people who weren't doing it. And, the walking on coals part happened and I saw them raking the coals out from the bonfire. I was like, I'm going to do it. And people were singing and dancing and they were walking on them. And I was like, all right, yeah, whatever. And it's my turn. And I walk on the coals and I'm like, ow, ow. And I start running over the coals. It's a long line of coals, you know, and I get to the end and I'm like, okay, oh no, I have like, you know, calluses on my feet because I walk around barefoot a lot, but I got burnt on my feet. Ouch. And I was like, oh yeah, ouch. That really hurt. And I didn't go again. I was just like nursing my wounds and like, okay, I'm going to take care of this now. But, you know, I thought about it afterward and I was like, you know, I wasn't raising energy during this ritual. It's basically a ritual. And so when this came around the second year, this fire festival came around to the same place and had the same fire coal, walking on hot coal offering. I said, okay, I'm going to do it again this year and I'm going to do it with a friend who's not going to abandon me. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we took turns talking about our hopes and dreams. I talked about, you know, writing books. At the time I was writing fiction books and, you know, she held that space for me and I held the space for her as she talked about her hopes and dreams. And then when it came time to walk on the coals, we were in the very front. So it was like the hottest the coals were, but we were doing the singing and the dancing, people were leading and we were so excited. And I walked over those coals 7 times without being burned once. And so it really taught me so much about how important raising energy is in a ritual. You know, you could get burned, you could get, you know, you could attract some more negative energy if you're in this negative headspace. And, you know, when I say you're in like a higher energy or a high vibration, I don't mean like you're in like a higher chakras kind of thing. It's more like you're feeling the emotion and it's a strong emotion and, you know, it's taking you over and uplifting you. It's amazing. And so that's what I learned from it. And that's the story that I shared in the book about how, you know, it's important to raise energy and there's so many different ways to raise energy, but I'm curious about what your, like how you think about this too.
So firstly, I think it's a powerful, powerful story, and stories are, you know, they're the things that stick with us, right? And that's what I loved about your book, that you included that. It wasn't just, here's how you do the thing. It's like, hey, I'm going to teach you through an example. And that's what sticks with people rather than, you know, the little bit that says exactly how to do something. You remember the story of how it's done. And so at our house here, we have stone pathways around the sides of the house. And these are not like little pebbles, little smooth pebbles. They are like chunky rocks. They're quite large and they're kind of not sharp, but pointy and jagged. Mm-hmm. Now, they are not comfortable to walk on. at all, generally. But every time I need to walk on them, whether my toddler has decided to toddle over them all and then realizes that it hurts and he's crying, whenever I go over there with the energy of like, oh, if you know it hurts, why don't you put shoes on? Like, walk over. And then I'm like, ow, 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 ow. And every single time you pop into my brain and I'm like, okay, I know it's hurting because I'm in that state of being frustrated or I'm in that lower energy state. So I usually then take a moment and just go, all right, okay, it's all right. He's just a kid. It's fine. He just needs his mum. I'm going to go, look, he's calling for me because he loves me and he knows that mum can help. Isn't that beautiful? And I do this little like mental shift and it is wild how quickly it doesn't hurt as much. And then sometimes when we're playing and we're literally in that really playful energy with the kids and maybe a ball gets thrown over there, I'll run over them and it's like I don't even notice until I get back. I'm like, oh, how did I do that? And then you pop into my brain again. I'm like, it's like the thing with the stress. It's like they're hot coals. Like they're not hot coals unless it's a really hot day, which does also happen. But the pain of just the rocks poking into my feet changes based on my mood. And I think it is a wonderful, wonderful example. And I use this as well because I do get chronic migraines. When I have a migraine, what I do is instead of going into that state, which I used to go in before I did magic or understood energy work or anything like that, where I would just be crying in pain, which obviously does not make a migraine any better. But now what I'll do, obviously retreating to a very quiet space, but I'll put something on, whether that is music that's at a really soothing frequency or something that I really love, like an audiobook. And I'll just put it there, focus on that and try and get lost in the story. And I notice that that is what helps me push through and the pain to lessen more than anything else that I do. Try to think about, you know, this migraine is giving me an opportunity to rest. How wonderful is that, that I can rest, that I have a partner here who's able to watch the kids or, you know, bring me my medication or whatever it is that I need. I'm so lucky. So I try and shift it. And it just brings it back to that story that you've shared that I think is just such a wonderful thing. And that's, as I said, that's in the first few chapters. And I think that's a reason why it's definitely a good thing to go through some of those earlier learnings. Even if you're like, I know how to raise energy, don't skip the chapter because you're going to miss some of these beautiful teachings, you know, which I think is.
Yeah. Funny. A lot of people don't raise energy in their spells or rituals at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not, oh girl. Oh boy. Don't you know that?
In many books, I think your book and Meg Rosenbry's book, The Healing Power of Witchcraft, they're two that have stuck out that have actually mentioned raising energy, but a lot of other ones that I've read and reviewed just ignore it. And I'm like, but that's like a big part. It's kind of,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Know? Some books even ignore setting an intention. And I'm like, oh, don't you know? Like, but then again, I'm a word witch, you know, total air magic head. And that's, I'm like, you know, you have to be exact or you're just inviting general stuff, you know, I'm exact, you know, I like to use my words. I like to, you know, create definite vibes or just pick out the vibe that I want with my words. And it's really important to me.
Yeah. It's funny. So I would probably relate myself more to, if I had to choose an element, earth, herbs are like the crux of my craft. I mean, even as we speak, I walked through my garden this morning. As I said, I had stomach flu yesterday and I wandered through my little herb garden and I thought, all right, which one is calling to me? Which plant is going to help me this morning with feeling better, which is going to help my stomach, which is going to be gentle on me? And I just intuitively picked which obviously mint is good for digestion, but mint, lemon balm, and a little tiny piece of mugwort leaf as well. And pop those all together with some lemon, but the quantities is always intuitive. It's like, I just feel like there's just a tiny bit of mugwort will help. Too much is going to be overpowering for me and not necessary. So I think that for me, using herbs in my craft, I really tune into the energy of the plant spirit. And that solidifies my intent based on the plant spirit that I'm using, if that makes sense. So I think
it does. Yeah.
It's wonderful to use those different elements that you feel most kinship with. in your practice. It's a great, great little tip.
And I really feel like intuition is a body-centric, earthy kind of magic as well. It's letting yourself escape the mental chatter of your mind and saying, like, what do I really feel? Earlier today, I found myself texting my boss saying, hey, can I leave a half an hour early? Because my body just wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. My mind was like, no, you should stay on. You should work the full 8 hours. And then, but my lunch ran longer than I thought it would. I had an appointment. And anyways, my body picked up my phone and was like texting my boss, like, okay, this is happening. Also, can I just say what's really funny?
You have
both of our mugs say witch's brew.
Oh, that's such a cute little, we're twinning and we're both also wearing black.
Yes.
Which I feel like for you is normal. Whereas for me, I'm usually quite bright. I usually wear bright colors. I looked in my wardrobe this morning and everything I looked at was just like, no, no, no. I just want comfy black. So I've just got a black t-shirt. It does say vibes on the front, but in black, so you can't really tell. But yeah, so I feel like we're twinning a little bit.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
I like how it's not good vibes only or something, because
it's just vibes.
I like the bad vibes too. I'm not afraid of shadow work at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
I know you're not either.
Question with that fire festival and walking on the hot coals, was it a witchy festival too?
No, it was called Kinetic Fire Festival. So it was mostly about learning all the different kinds of moves you could do with fire dancing. Mm-hmm. And then every night there was a big bonfire, people would fire dance, and, you know, you'd have safety people there watching other people. It was amazing. It was just a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. I love fire dancing so much. And I really wanted to write the fire magic book. But
I was
that one
ask.
Was already taken.
I literally have that as like my little thing to talk about, which was, you know, as someone who's got such an affinity with fire, you've written the air magic book, and fire and air work very well together. But I was curious. So obviously fire was taken, and was air your next choice? Or do you also feel that sort of affinity with air as well?
Yeah. So my Saturn is in Leo in the 11th house. And so I'm learning to, you know, be that leonine personality, and I love it too. I find it's really easy to bring out as long as I don't work too much. You know what I mean? Like, with my day job and writing. But so that's the challenge with that. And so I'm learning the Saturnine steps, and I mm-hmm. love it. And I also have Neptune in Sagittarius. And but I do have an air grand trine in my chart with mm-hmm. my Sun, my Moon, and my Jupiter. And I relate to air on such a huge level. You know, I'm all about the atmosphere. I'm all about like expanding and taking up space. I'm all about feeling that, you know, creating an atmosphere where people can feel like, you know, they're welcome and they belong and things like that. So it's part of my journey to be this air magic person. And it's funny, Llewellyn, when they asked me, they were like, so will you do water magic? And I was like, no. That's like the least one. Like I do have Scorpio, but it's the one that I'm least familiar with. And I know that there mm-hmm. are a lot of really strong people who identify with water. And then I said I could do earth or air, because I have some earth placements too. And, you know, I've studied earth science and environmental science at college and university. So yeah, it just worked out that air magic was my bag, and I love it. I loved writing about it and experimenting with it and talking about it. It was a dream come true.
That's wonderful. Is it set up? Because I haven't read Air Magic. I think I have a copy of it? I've definitely got a copy of Fire Magic. Can't remember which ones. And I've got a big bag from Llewellyn that has just arrived today as well with some more books, which I see a lot of people getting their beautiful Llewellyn box of books, and mine comes in like a giant garbage bag. I'm like, why?
That's funny.
I don't know if it's because I'm like really far away or something. I don't know. But yes, I have a giant blue garbage bag full of books here to open shortly.
Oh, wonderful.
But yeah, I don't think I have Air Magic, and I haven't yet read Fire Magic. But with that book, is it set up similarly to Intuitive Witchcraft in regards to, because what I found with that book was, firstly, it was chock full. Like, it is deceptively large, Intuitive Witchcraft is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It I've got it here. So if anyone's watching, you can see it. It just looks like a kind of standard novel size. It doesn't look like it's going to take a while. It actually took me ages to get through because it's dense. There's a lot in there. Yeah. You've packed it full. And just when I'd thought you'd covered everything of the craft, there were more chapters and then another chapter and then another chapter. And I was like, there's so much in here that I didn't even think of that you'd put in there. And what I really loved as someone who likes to go off on rabbit hole searches is at the end of each chapter, you've put like a further reading list.
Mm-hmm.
A, it shows how well researched you are, but B, it's like a dream come true. Cause I'm like, I want to learn more about this. And I'm like, oh, and I have sources to go and search in. This is wonderful. So is Air Magic similarly set up in that regard with, you know, sort of reference style and neat little chapters?
I would say that it's set up the same way as the other elemental books are set up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a specific format that Llewellyn wanted. It was an introduction and then history and then the magical beasts, which, you know, can be used for imaginatory kind of spirit work mm-hmm. kind of things. And then correspondences and then at the end, there's like spells and rituals and whatnot. So I had very little control over the format, but, you know, I really wanted to convey the meaning of air in all of its deep meanings. So I, you know, and I do love to talk and write and stuff. So my basic thing is I know that I have a lot of information to share. I try to break it down in the most accessible way possible. So it is very linear. It's presented in a very basic, easy to absorb manner, but at the same time, it does go into those deeper pockets. Ooh. And it kind of like leans into the deeper meanings as well. And the introduction kind of shows how air can mean so many different things. You know, it can mean like the actual element, the breath that we do. It can mean, you know, the mind and our intention and psychisms. And there's also the physical element of air, how it changes, how it initiates, how it carries things forward. You know, you can see that in literal air, and that's where some of my science comes into play as well. Mm-hmm. So I go deep, but it's also deceptively simple as well.
Yeah,
I love that answers the question.
I love when there is books like this that give something that people might be like, oh yeah, like air, right? Just an element, right? They might write it off a little bit, but it gives it the space to really explore because air is so much more than just air. As you said, there's a gentle breeze that might carry a little butterfly along, and then there's mm-hmm. the destructive element of things like tornadoes, right? So you have these varying ways of using that sort of magic. And I think it's wonderful to give the opportunity of exploring the element just by itself.
Yeah. And Llewellyn said that people said that it was the hardest element to relate to. And they didn't know how to relate to it. And I'm like, are you kidding? We are swimming in an ocean of air. It's all around us. Like we're bathing in it all the time. Like, yeah. And you know, we're literally receiving messages all the time too. And energy all the time. Energy is just flowing in. And this is an ancient concept. It's not something that I came up with. It's, you know, it goes back to the ancient Greeks and Mesopotamia, Sumeria, and, you know, probably even before that. We don't have any records of it, but yeah, it's amazing to, you know, consider all of these things when we think of the element of air. Mm-hmm. There's just so much going on. And once we tune into it, it's like our eyes are open. It's like the fish who doesn't realize he's in the water. It's us with the air.
Yes, it is. And did you include as well things like technology in terms of like Wi-Fi and being able to talk to someone via Zoom? I mean, I find that a form of air element magic, right? People might, just because it's technology doesn't mean it's not magical and you can do magic through it. Was that included in the book?
Not so much. I mentioned like the age of information and, you know, this is also the age of disinformation too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I wrote that during the Trump era. It was hard to write books during that time, but, you know, putting little things like that in there really rang true and helped me get through with it. But yeah, I believe that, technology, it's a very Aquarian, innovative energy. And so definitely that's in there as well. And, it's funny when we were all in lockdown with the pandemic, right? I led a ritual online and I was like, oh no, am I going to be able to like do the energy workings, that I do with the ritual? People are going to feel it. I'm worried about that, but I did it two different times, the self-love ritual with Aphrodite, two different times virtually, and people felt it. People were moved by it. And I could feel the people too. When you're in person and doing it, it's like one thing to be in the same room and to help people move their energy. But I felt people far away as if they were in the same room with me, even though we were on a Zoom calls. So we were able to do this ritual to everyone's satisfaction, and I was so happy with all of that.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, I teach psychic development, right? That's my course is the Art of Psychic Development. And the first two rounds of that, I included weekly psychic development classes via Zoom. And I had students that were in the United States. I had students that were here in Australia. So, but everyone was, quite far from me physically. And it was wonderful because I think a lot of them also doubted that it would work, right? We're not in the same room. Like, I can understand if we're in the same room, but we're not in the same room. Like, that's kind of, it was just a bit too far. And so what I'd usually do is I'd encourage people to go through this process of opening our circle and connecting in together, which was to imagine that your aura is growing bigger and bigger and bigger, and everyone else in the groups is growing bigger as well, until almost like you zoom out and see the entire earth, and you can see our auras all joined together. That's us in circle. And then I'd do something like I'd hold up a card, for example, in the back of it, and ask them to describe what was on the card. And they would get it. Like, it was wonderful. I would hold up a postcard, right? The back of the postcard. They couldn't see what was on it, describe what's on it, and they would get it. And you could just see their eyes open up and they're like, how? How? Like, because it's psychic and it doesn't matter if, time and space and all of that, it doesn't matter. It's still going to work. And it was wonderful because it gives people the confidence to then go on and realize that they do have a gift if they can tune into Hannah over in Australia and what I've got there. And it was specific enough, the things that they got, that they couldn't have guessed it, So wonderful to see. And I've done, even when I do things like, I used to go live quite a bit on TikTok and things like that, especially when I hit milestones in my growth on social media. And I would do some readings as like a way of giving back to my followers. And the energy in that, I would be bouncing off the walls afterwards. My husband was like, can you just go outside? Like, it's just wild with energy from a phone, right? Just from all the people tuning in, because there'd be thousands. So it was a wonderful way of seeing just how it can work through technology. And I'm a rising Aquarius, so I've always been, I was on Zoom doing my readings that way before the pandemic. Like, it was everyone's like, you do it that way? I'm like, yeah, it's great. And then suddenly everyone's doing it and I'm like, oh, I'm not special anymore.
You're the trailblazer.
So for me, it's always been just such a wonderful magical tool, and it's wonderful that it's getting showcased that way, I think, as well. Now, you also have a new book, which it's from the time of us recording, it hasn't come out, but the time this podcast will be released, it will be out in the world. And it's called Modern Witchcraft with the Greek Gods. And you wrote it with Jason Mankey, is that right?
Yes, it was a wonderful collaboration. We split it 50-50, and it was just the perfect writing experience with somebody. It was wonderful because he's good at some things. Like, he's really good at history, and I'm good at like
He is.
setting the tone. So I wrote the this is the book for this. This is not the book for this. This is how to look at this stuff. And he wrote just like, here's some history, blah blah blah, and which is perfect. And then, we took turns writing about the different deities, the histories, and then magical practices. So you get a wide variety of perspectives. And then we have the passage authors. We have 21 passage authors for
Awesome.
deities in there. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coordination, but like, it was so worth it because the passages are amazing. Some of them are so insightful. And we have like two for Artemis, And you know, multiple for other people, but or other deities, people like they're like people to me. But yeah, it was a wonderful experience to get this book going, and I'm so proud of it. Like we've researched the F out of it too. So people who like indexes and footnotes, we got you.
Well, I feel like just from intuitive witchcraft, you are very well researched, very, very well researched, and Jason is also incredibly well researched from the books of his that I've read. And I had, if anyone is interested, I did interview Jason on episode one of season one. So my very first episode was with Jason, and he's wonderful. He is such a sweetheart. Love him to bits. And I think this collaboration is just gorgeous. So very excited to get my hands on it as well. Now written, and then there's one more book that's coming out later this year. So that's four books. How long has it taken you to write all four books? How many years is that over?
I think I started writing in 2018, and there was a delay with Intuitive Witchcraft. And there's a delay in my Modern Witchcraft with the Greek Gods too. It just didn't work as fast as Jason and I had hoped. Mm-hmm. There's just so much research, and you know, it's really hard because I had to write about Demeter and Persephone and Hades, and honestly, there was a mystery religion with them, a mystery cult with them. The whole experience, like nobody was supposed to write about it or share it at all. So there was little information. There were people who had ideas about what happened, and you know what's at the site of Eleusis, and you have some firsthand experiences, but you don't know if these people were just being punks about what they said. So it's really interesting. And you know, I had to cite a lot of material and go into hypotheses, and I'm okay with being in that gray area. You know, I don't feel like we have to know what happened at this, you know, over 2,000 years ago at this site. But yeah, it was really important for me to present that in a very good way that people could absorb it and feel like they were part of the mysteries, and to know what we know, and to also feel like, oh, this is what we don't know. And, you know, this is what you can think about.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It sounds magical. I guess that brings it to almost like you're pumping out a book a year, basically. That's a lot. That's a huge undertaking. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, and thank you.
And you're working as well, so it's not like the full-time gig, right? I don't know how you do it. You find the time.
Yeah, I'm inspired, you know. I just feel the books, the information is kind of downloaded in a way into my brain. I just get ideas all the time, and I keep a running notebook of all my ideas, and I'm always constantly writing ideas down. Like they come to me right before I'm about to sleep, when I get on the subway, you know, when I am like driving to work, you know, all kinds of places, all kinds of times. And, I just, you know, faithfully take the notes and say, okay, you know, well, we'll see if this happens. No promises, but, sometimes it actually comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that there's almost like an entity or a god of ideas, right, that sort of drops these ideas to a few different people in the hopes that the idea comes to fruition, because the idea needs to be seen and explored. I love that idea. And so sometimes when I get a gazillion million ideas, I'm very similar in that aspect. I love the idea that if I'm like, you know what, this isn't for me right now, but I feel like someone else is going to explore that idea. Someone else will have had that idea, and I'm excited for them. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, that's zeitgeist. That's the spirit of the times, a certain spirit and a certain idea that needs to be hatched. And what's funny is, you know, my fourth book, Inspiring Creativity Through Magic, I think it's called. It's a lot of people wrote books about that kind of stuff in 2022. And so like there was like a book called Art Witch. There was a book, Laura Tempest Sackroff wrote a book about sigil visual alchemy, I believe. And like working with sigils on this higher level. And there was another one, Art of the Occult. I think it came out in this year, 2022 or 2021. And so a lot of this like art and creativity and magic synthesis, these books, these ideas wanted to come out. But my book is different in that it does discuss the creative spirit and kind of making a ritual for you to welcome the creative spirit into your creativity. So, you know, whether it be the muse or the genius or whatnot, it's about using your own creative correspondences to create an atmosphere that facilitates the inspiration to flow through you so you can make the art, and it uplifts you. It helps you do it on a higher level.
I love so it.
That's what I've experienced, like from writing fiction. And that's how I've written so many books in such a short time. And with NaNoWriMo, as you know, like that helps you write as a lot as well.
Yes, indeed. Yes. It is a wonderful experience. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah. I'm gonna tell everyone a little secret. I did actually get the book that isn't out yet, Inspiring Creativity Through Magic.
Yes.
I got my hands on that early to have a little read through, and which thank you very much. And I will let you all know, I was reading it. I hadn't finished it at any point. I was a few chapters in. And I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you this. Like, this is no word of a lie. I messaged you straight away, Australia, because I'd been reading it. I think I put it down. No, I didn't put it down because I had it on my computer. I'd been reading it on my computer, and I sat down for a second to take a break and check my phone for something. So I wasn't touching the computer at all. Hadn't touched it for a couple of minutes, and out of the corner of my eye, I noticed the screen sort of flash white. And I looked up like, oh, what's going on? Thinking, oh no, is it shutting down or something? And there was a blank Word document. And I was like, I didn't open up Word. And this, like, it wasn't, Word was not open on my computer at the time. It just had randomly opened, and it was very bizarre. And so I put my phone down and I've looked, I'm like, why is this here? And I heard a thought drop into my head intuitively, which just basically said, start writing. And I was like, start writing? Start writing what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then I'd been toying with the idea of writing my own story about my journey from Christianity to witchcraft. And I just knew that that was kind of what had to come out. And I was like, oh, well, okay. I didn't really know what to write. So I was like, I'll just write. All right. I think it starts out like, I've just sort of written a little prologue, and the prologue is like, well, dear reader, you won't believe it, but a Word document has magically opened up on my computer and I'm hearing that I need to write. So I'm going to write. This is the story that I want to write, and this is who I'm writing it for. So I just kind of jotted that down. And then I started getting this influx of almost like memories, like, oh, remember that first time that you went up to the altar at church and you had a vision? I was like, oh, that has to be in there. So I wrote that story out. And then I was like, oh, remember that time this happened? And I wrote that one out, and I wrote this one out. And then suddenly I had a chapter, and I was sitting there like, what just happened?
Inspiration.
It was wonderful, totally inspired. Now, it probably took me, so that was mid-2022, probably took me about 3 months, give or take, to write about 30,000 words. And they are good words, and I'm really, really happy with those words. I thought, great, I'm going to be a writer. This is wonderful. And then I was driving. So similar to you, I get these like inspirational hits when I'm either driving or about to fall asleep. I was driving and I randomly got this idea in my head about a story. And I thought, oh, that would be a really cool story to write, like a fictional supernatural fantasy. And I was like, oh, that would be wonderful. I've got to write that idea down. So I'm driving, right? And I've okay, Google, please open notes. And then I've like dictated what I wanted in there. Like, fantastic. And I keep driving. And the next song that came on related to the idea that I had, I was like, that would be cool. Maybe I should put that on a playlist for ideas around this thing. But I can't focus on that because I've got the other book. I can't do two books at once. That's not something I can do. But then NaNoWriMo happened. And I thought, you know what, maybe I put the other one down for a minute and do NaNoWriMo, and did 50,000 words in a month. So it's wonderful. And the ideas just get flowing. And I kept thinking about your book. You do talk about having like a ritual or correspondences that you set up. Now, just a little, you know, sneak peek. That book that I wrote for NaNoWriMo, is the main character is actually one of the fallen angels. Just as I was getting the ideas around it before I'd actually started writing it, I was doing my little purchase order on one of my favorite witchy stores, which is Elfheim. They're in Victoria. And I was just looking around for my usual supplies. And I decided to have a look at some of their ritual oils just to see what they had. And they had some ones from the Poisoner's Apothecary. And one of these was called Azazel, which is the main character of my book. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
what? And you know, when you get like the chills and you're like, okay, I need that. I actually need that. So I ordered it, got it. And now every time I sit down to write, I place a little bit on each wrist and I smell it and I invoke the energy of that angelic presence, basically. And I put out the intention. I say, help me to craft the words to paint you in the light that you want to be painted. And then I write. And it's wonderful because the feedback I've had so far from people has been that they absolutely love him, and that they feel he's like the most fleshed out and that they relate to him so much. And they're just like, oh my gosh, I love him so much. I'm like, oh, this is what people love my character. Like, and it's just filled with inspiration. So your book was an absolute, what is the word? It lit a fire under me and really threw me onto the path of actually writing and actually sitting down and doing the thing that I had wanted to do for so long, but just never thought I could. And just letting that inspiration flow and having that correspondence. Like I've got the little oil here and you know, I keep it here next to me and it's my thing.
I love that.
You know, so I think it's wonderful. If I don't have ideas, I just put it out there. I'm like, okay, just bring what you have. And I sit down and just write whatever I have. So it's been a really great book for that. So if anyone, I mean, that comes out when, July, did you say?
Yeah, July 8th of 2023.
Yeah. So for anyone who is wanting to do that, and it's not just for writing either. Your book is for artists, dancers, like painters, whatever form of creativity that you do, it's for you. And it's all about the process in creating rather than the thing you're creating, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, if you can get into that trance mindset, it's a magical act. Creating and magic, they're so similar. And I really feel like you get into that mindset and then it just takes over, you know, kind of like a good magic or a good ritual. It can kind of just like move you to these feelings. Mm-hmm. And I love what you said about, you know, you got the feelings or the ideas in the car. And I have this theory, like the transitory places that we're at, like we're about to go to sleep, these liminal places, like we're in the car, you know, it relates to Ekate or Hecate, however you want to say it, you know, the goddess of witchcraft, but also Hermes, you know, the messenger, the one who is traveling a lot. And these are Greek deities, of course. There are other deities that can correspond to those kinds of spaces and emotions or whatever. But yeah, and I just feel like there's so much power in getting out and getting into those spaces, having those experiences too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're falling asleep, you go into that hypnagogia or hypnagogic state. Mm-hmm. And that is that transitory, like I'm not quite awake, but I'm not going to sleep. Like it's that in between. And you can get some beautiful ideas. You can get intuition in that state. I have had many times, and I've had students that have this as well, where as you're falling asleep, you might see faces in front of you, which often can happen if you have mediumship abilities or anything like that. If I get that these days, I'm like, okay, stop, wake up. I'm going to properly, you know, ward myself before I go to sleep. But that used to happen quite a lot back in the day. Mm-hmm. So that's a really like open state. And I do agree with you in terms of creativity and intuition. I actually think it's the same thing. I think it's the same energy and it's opening up to that. I mean, it makes me question, do these ideas we have come from us? I don't think they do. I think they can be influenced by our experience and our memories, but I think the ideas themselves, sometimes the words, sometimes the images, I think it comes from somewhere else. And I think like, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Like, you know, we're just given cookie dough all the time. And we're like, you know what, I'm going to make rosemary cookies. And because rosemary and juniper is my grandmother, you know, or, and we're like, oh, pumpkin spice cookies. Yeah. That's my jam or whatever. You know, like we all have our own flavorings of the cookies, but they're all cookies. And we need to like share our cookies with the world. We need to bake our cookies. We take such pleasure in making our own cookies. Right. But we get the dough from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I like that
great metaphor. I hope. But yeah.
And you know what? I would not be opposed to it not being a metaphor and everyone just sharing cookies with everyone. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I want to taste everyone's cookies. Like, I'm curious. Like, I love learning, though. It's one of those things. I'm a lifelong learner. I've read books for so long. And yeah, it's just one of my favorite things is reading.
What's your
so
favorite?
I hope that you write your book about your story, because
I
think
am.
The world needs that. I hope you finish it and put it out there, because I think a lot of people come from some of those oppressive religions into more of an empowering state, whether they reach it through magic, whether they call it witchcraft or not. You know, I feel like everyone can relate to that, because I mean, even society is oppressive, even if you weren't raised, you know, with the Christianity kind of religions in your upbringing. Yeah, everyone can relate to that. So I hope that you do continue to write that and eventually publish it.
Well, I think both the books that I'm writing, interestingly enough, whilst one is a real story, which was in a way quite easy because I didn't have to think of a plot. I didn't have to do a plot outline or anything. It is my life, right? So that made it easier to do. But that obviously has themes of Christianity, deconstruction, and witchcraft. And in the other book that I'm writing, which is a fantasy supernatural about fallen angels set in 2000 BC in Kemet, which is ancient Egypt, very, very different style of book, right? But it too has themes of Christianity, deconstruction, and religion. They're like the same, they have the same message in each book. And I love that. And it was unintentional. And it's, oh, it just soothes my soul. So the plan is to, you know, obviously finish them and then query, and we'll see. We will see. So
yeah, good luck.
Fingers crossed. But they'll get out there.
Be a beta reader. Yeah.
They'll get out there. Even if I didn't find traditional publishing, I would self-publish them. I think they need to be in the world.
Yeah, I self-published my fiction books. I queried a little bit, but I was just impatient. You know, I really wanted my books to be out there in the world. I was like, live.
And then you get full control as well. You don't have to, you know, change anything if you don't want to.
You get the title you want. You get the image you want. You get the preface or the quote, you know, the style you want. But you do have to put a little bit more work into it to develop it. But I think it's worth it.
I agree. Now, going back to your cookie analogy, what's your favorite cookie?
Oh, I love chocolate. So I would have to say like a double chocolate cookie. I'm a sucker for them. Like some cookies, like sugar cookies, I'm like, pass. You know, like, you know, some, I don't know, artificial colored cookies, I'm like, no, thank you, I'm not hungry. I will always eat a double chocolate cookie every single time.
I was going to say mine is probably a triple choc, which I guess it's like the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I need your recipe.
It's actually, I'm not kidding. I have a recipe and it is one that I don't pull out too often because they disappear immediately. So I will send it to you today. Maybe I will bake it today.
That's I think it needs to be part of the show notes too.
Okay, good idea. I will put my triple chocolate chip recipe in the show notes, so say below.
Yeah. The world needs your cookies.
Oh, how can we? What correspondences does chocolate have? How can we make it magical?
Oh, well, there's so many sensual correspondences
sex.
With chocolate. Yes.
I'll give you my sex cookie recipe in the show notes.
Yes. Like, please call it that in parentheses too. Yeah.
My other favorite one, which I don't bake myself, but I will always buy when I see them at the shops, is Spekulaas cookies, which is a Dutch spice cookie. They are heaven, and they just remind me of my grandparents because they were a constant staple in their pantry. So Spekulaas, dear to my heart. Yeah. Dipped in coffee. Glorious.
I make a Spekulaas crust for my cheesecakes. Yes.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's amazing.
I haven't had cheesecake in years, years and years. But that sounds good. I make a lot of like pecan pie style things, and the crust is usually made from biscuits. So, yeah, I could totally use that. Sounds good. Awesome. So lastly, very last thing that I wanted to ask today, what is your number one piece of advice for witches who want to deepen their intuition?
I would say listen to your gut and believe in what you feel. A lot of people say fake it until you make it, but I think that's a path to keep on faking it. So I really believe in just believing in yourself and being real. And if you don't feel like doing something, like acknowledging that and not faking anything ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have to show up to work and be like, yeah, I'm a real not angry person, you know, but, you know, when it comes down to intuition, really listening to who you are, where you are, giving yourself space and time to just be who you are and taking up that space. It's okay. Whatever you're feeling, you can get through that, especially if you acknowledge it. If you keep on faking it until you make it, then, you know, you may never do the shadow work. You may never try to reach for beautiful, wonderful things. You know, you have to go through the caves sometimes to get over the mountains. So keep going, keep listening to your gut and believe what it tells you and, you know, form that relationship. So yeah, that's my best piece of advice, I think.
It's wonderful. And it's something that I often teach with my students as well, is that trusting aspect. Because once you start to doubt your intuition, that's when you block your intuition. So trusting is a big part in that, and believing that you are capable of knowing these things, even if you don't know how you know them. So,
yeah. Yeah. Be okay with uncertainty. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you so, 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 so much for coming on today.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Astrea Taylor. I just made a Mastodon account at Astrea Taylor at The Witches Live, you know, and I'm on Twitter at Astrea Writes. I have a Facebook page, Astrea Taylor Author. I still kind of have a Pathos blog called Starlight Witch, but not really. I don't know. I should write on it some more. But yeah, mostly you can find me at bookstores. So I encourage you to read my books and let me know what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and if you do read any of Astrea's books, please leave her a review on Amazon or Goodreads and all of those things. It really, really helps with authors and means more than you realize. In that same vein, so do podcast reviews. So feel free to leave one for this one if you are enjoying it. Tell me what you love, what your favorite episode has been, or something that you've learned that's really helped you. That would be wonderful to hear. So thank you again, Astrea. And thank for everyone you out there listening, I hope you have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world today. We will chat to you next time. And for all of the links for Astrea and for the sex cookie recipe, you can find them in the show notes for this episode, along with links to book in with me for any tarot or astrology readings. Have a wonderful day. Bye.